Sacri Mater Aita. Manomai Bhagavatam Dado Gatam. Saeva Nityatma Sukhanubhayati Abhi. Vyudasta Mayonata Kato Hikim Punaha. Sakra Diranga Pratimantara Hita. Manomai Bhagavatam Dado Gatam. Saeva Nityatma Sukhanubhayat Yabhi. Vyudasta Mayonata Kato Hikim Punaha. Sakra Dianga Pradimantar Ahita. Manomai Bhagavatam Dado Gatam. Saeva Nityatma Sukhanubhayati Abhi. Vyudasta Mayonata Kato Hikim Punaha.
Only once only.
Yad
Bhuz
Anga Pratima.
The form of the Supreme Lord.
Anta Ahita.
Placing within the core of the heart. Somehow or other.
Manamai.
Thinking of him even by force.
Bhagavatam,
which is competent to offer devotional service to the Lord.
Dado,
Krishna gave.
Gatam,
the best destination.
Saha,
he, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Eva,
indeed.
Nitya,
always.
Atma,
of all living entities.
Sukha Anubhuti.
Anyone thinking of him
immediately
enjoys transcendental pleasure.
Abhivyudasta.
Mayaha. Because all illusion is completely removed by him.
Antagataha.
He's always present within the core of the heart.
He
indeed.
Kim punaha.
What to speak. If even only once, and even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of God into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, so as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of God enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities and by whom all illusion is completely removed. Can everyone hear clearly? Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The process for receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can attain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet always within the hearts of his devotees. Bhagavatam Bhakta Hedi Stitha. In the case of Agasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. Although Agasura's pleasure, purpose, was to kill Krishna, for a moment Agasura thought of Krishna with devotion. And Krishna and his associates wanted to sport with Agasura's, within Agasura's mouth. Similarly, Putana wanted to kill Krishna by poisoning him, but Krishna took her as his mother, because he has accepted the milk of her breast. Especially when Krishna appears as an avatar, anyone who thinks of Krishna in his different incarnations, especially in his original form as Krishna, always attains salvation. There are many instances of this, and among them is Agasura, who attained the salvation of Sarupa Mukti. Therefore, the process is Satatam Kirtayantamam. Those who are devotees always engage in glorifying Krishna. Advaita Muchuta Manadi Ananta Rupam. When we speak of Krishna, we refer to all his avatars, such as Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Balaram, and Shyamasundara. One who always thinks of Krishna must attain Vimukti, special salvation, as the Lord's personal associate, not necessarily in Vrindavan, but at least in Vaikuntha. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Where am I beat back? Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sabitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhanati Swapadandikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagayatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savatam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kantam Adha Kantam Dhapta Kanchana Ghorangi Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Vancha Kalpa Taribhyascha Kripa Hai Vacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnanevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vachadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Sakritidanga pratimantar ahita manomai bhagavatam dadogatam seva nityatma suganu payat yubi vayudastamayo natakato hikim punaha. This verse and purport have many important points to meditate upon. We are reading the 11th chapter, the chapter 12 of the 10th canto. It describes the killing of the demon Agasura. The demons who appear, or the personalities who appear as demons, now we identify them as demons. They're all actually all devotees of the Lord. And the devotees of the Lord take on the role of demons to make the Lord's pastimes more relishable. In the Bhagavatam, you read the story of the Kumaras, how they were endeavoring to have an audience with the Lord. And they were able to pass through the six gates. But in the seventh gate, they got stopped. Who did they get stopped by? The doorkeepers of the Lord. They said, "You naked children, you're not eligible to come inside like this and see the Lord." Which greatly angered the Kumaras, who thought that these two doorkeepers were completely unfit to be custodians of the Lord. And in anger, they cursed the two doorkeepers as being unfit to be there. The doorkeepers took the curse, but later on the Kumaras discovered that the Lord has a very intimate relationship with these doorkeepers. And they wanted to withdraw their curse. But the Lord said, "No need to withdraw the curse. It was my desire that he curse them, because the Lord was getting ready to appear on the planet to perform his pastimes, and he wanted his own devotees to play the role of demons." So when we read about these demons, we should understand in our heart of hearts that these are not ordinary demons, not comparable to the demons you see in society today. These are very powerful devotees who get the privilege to be with the Lord as a demon. Now, Thakur Bhaktivinod has further explained on the discussion of the different demons. And Thakur Bhaktivinod has explained that these different demons, the pastimes of the Lord, killing these different demons, they represent different anarthas. And by hearing these stories and meditating on these stories, you can eliminate yourself from these anarthas. We all have anarthas, don't we? And by hearing these different stories, we can eliminate our anarthas. For example, this anartha, one anartha is the tendency to be cruel and violent out of envy. Envy is a deep-rooted anartha. And due to envy, we are often cruel and violent. Of course, a devotee doesn't want to be cruel or violent at all. A devotee is so cautious that he does not even hurt an ant. You read in the fifth canto the story of Jat Bharat, how Jat Bharat was so cautious that he would not even place his feet on the ground till he made sure that there was no living entity. But nevertheless, that anartha is there, the anartha of envy and cruelty. So Thakur Bhaktivinod explains that this anartha of cruelty and violence, the nature of a Vaishnava is Surda Sarva Dehinam. He's a friend of all living entities. But the nature of a devotee is he doesn't want to harm even an ant. And by hearing this pastime of the Lord killing the demon Agasura, you can eliminate this tendency of being violent and cruel to other entities, especially when you're instigated by envy. So by hearing these pastimes of the Lord, we can eliminate a different anarthas. And if you hear all the pastimes of the Lord killing the demons, then you can eliminate these different anarthas that are there. Now another point to notice is that when Krishna appears, he performs superhuman activities on this planet. The activities that Krishna performs cannot be duplicated or matched by anyone, including the powerful demigods. We have powerful demigods, but they are unable to match the prowess of Krishna. For example, in all the pastime that you've read so far, right from Krishna killing the powerful demon Putana, these are exceptional pastimes. Krishna was just a young child and he killed this powerful demon Putana, who had disguised herself as a very beautiful damsel with the intention of poisoning Krishna. So when you read about these pastimes, you can say that these are extraordinarily superhuman pastimes. Not just superhuman, but extraordinarily superhuman pastimes, which can never be rivaled or matched by anyone. After all, as Prabhupada Muni said, the word Bhagavan can only be used for one who is in possession of six opulences to an unlimited degree. What are the six opulences? Aishwarya Samagrasya, Viryasya Yuchasya, Jnana Viragya Vaishaiva, Sanna Bhaga Itangina. And one of these six opulences is he is the strongest. He is the wealthiest. He is the most knowledgeable. He is the most renowned. He is the most famous. He is the most beautiful. And he is Viryasya. He is the strongest. In the material world, you will meet somebody who is very rich, but he may not be very handsome. Let's say Bill Gates, the richest man in the world. He happens to be rich, but he also happens to be very handsome. But I'm sure he's not the strongest. You'll find a lot of people who knock him down. You know? So, only Krishna is in possession of the six opulences to an unlimited degree. So if anybody claims that he is equal to the Lord, you can test his claim by challenging him to do any of the pastimes that Krishna exhibited. Once, about a few years ago, I was taking part in an interfaith dialogue in India, and one individual, a Swami, came up to me and said, "Why do you, Hare Krishna, say there's only one Krishna? Why we can't all become Krishna?" So I told him that when Krishna appeared on the planet, he performed superhuman activities. Can you match any of the pastimes he did? And I gave him a few examples. So he said, just because we haven't done them today, doesn't mean we won't be able to match tomorrow. So I told him, okay, how many years do you want for the ability to lift Govardhan Hill? And he had no answer. So Krishna, when he appears, he performs superhuman activities. And when Krishna appears in all his incarnations, just like when Lord Chaitanya appeared, that Lord Chaitanya is also none else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from his very childhood, Lord Chaitanya also exhibited his divine qualities also. Even when he began to crawl, his parents were surprised to see the footprints on the floor, where the footprints carried with them manifested all the auspicious symptoms that are to be noticed in the feet of the Lord. So a genuine incarnation is recognized on the basis of the Shastras, and he is able to perform superhuman activities. Now, Krishna, in the 10th canto, you read about the various superhuman activities that he performed. And it is only after presenting these childhood pastimes of Krishna that Vyasadeva, the author of the Bhagavatam, proceed to discuss the Rasa Leela section of the Bhagavatam. The Rasa Leela section that presents Krishna performing his Ras pastimes with these devotees, namely the gopis, can be easily misunderstood. But if one systematically studies the Bhagavatam starting from the first canto and then proceeding to the 10th canto and then proceeding chapter by chapter to the Rasa Lila section. Then by the time you reach chapters on Rasa Lila, you will have no doubt who Krishna is. But if you try to take a shortcut or jump over all the other chapters and go straight to the Rasa Lila, as professional reciters do, then you'll walk away with a twisted understanding of the Supreme Lord. That is why Vyasadeva first discusses the Bal Lila of Krishna, and then he proceeds to discuss his confidential pastimes. Now, Krishna performs superhuman activities. You've already read in this chapter how he killed the powerful demon Agasura. Agasura was a brother of Putana and Bakasura. And Agasura was very upset. Krishna killed my brother and sister. I must take revenge. That's the nature of demons. They're always revengeful. And for Krishna, nothing is inconceivable. In the Bhagavad Gita, we are instructed to think about the Lord. And Krishna explains, think of me as one who is inconceivable, one who cannot be understood with the material senses. So God is inconceivable. And when Krishna started performing his superhuman activities in Braj, even his parents, Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Mata, they could not understand who is this wonder boy. They were thinking, maybe this boy is a demigod. Maybe he has some special mercy of Narayan. Because when the Lord appears by his yogamaya potency, his closest associates cannot comprehend his true identity. And if his closest associates would comprehend his true identity, then the whole nature of the leelas would change. Then there would be no anxiety. Like Mother Yasoda, she was always worried something may happen to Krishna. Once Mother Yasoda was in the kitchen cooking and she heard two huge trees fall down in her courtyard. And she got alarmed. I hope these trees didn't fall on Krishna. Then she ran out of her courtyard and she saw the other cowherd boys playing over there. And she said, "Oh, how did these trees fall?" And the cowherd boy said, "We saw your son pulling down these trees." And she said, "How is it possible that my young son could pull down these trees? It must be a Mauritian cyclone that caused the trees to fall. It must be strong winds that caused the tree to fall." And she said, "Thank God my son got saved, because the trees, when they fell, they missed Krishna by only hardly a centimeter." She said, "Thank God my son got saved." So that was her mood. She could never understand who her son was. Just like when she heard about the lifting of the Govardhan Hill, she said, "My husband must have helped him carry the mountain. How can a young child carry such a heavy mountain?" So Krishna's pastimes are inconceivable on this planet. And even his closest associates cannot fully comprehend or understand his true identity. So Krishna killed this demon Bhagasura. Bhagasura was not an ordinary demon. You know, he came and actually this Agasura in his previous world was Aga, the son of Shankasura. And he was a very, very handsome young man, Aga. There was a sage. The sage was ugly. He had a bent body. So the sage, Agasura, who was very handsome, one day laughed at the sage. Hey, look at that ugly man. His whole body is so wrinkled. So the sage said, you are cursing me? I curse you. That you will become very ugly. And then he said, please at least give me the benediction that I may be able to engage in a pastime with Krishna. Then the sage blessed him that you'll be able to be killed by the Supreme Lord. So Agasura wanted to take revenge on the kid because the killing of his brother and sister. So he disguised himself. His body was 8 miles long. Have you ever seen anyone with a body 8 miles long? His body was 8 miles long. And he opened his mouth. You and I, we also open our mouth. We go to the doctor, we open our mouth. But when he opened his mouth, the lower lip touched the ground and the upper lip touched the sky. He would probably get any Olympic gold medal. His lower lip touched the ground and the upper lip touched the sky. Because he had a plan. His plan was to swallow all of Krishna's friends and ultimately Krishna. So Krishna's friends, they saw this 8 mile long body, lower lip touching the earth, upper lip touching the sky. They thought, let's have a good time. Just like you see these Agasuras in all these Rathyatas that we have in America. In America we have what they call Festival of India. It goes to different cities on weekends where they have festivals. So they also carry an Agasura with them. A rubber Agasura. So these friends of Krishna saw this wide open mouth. He said, let's go inside, have fun. They were meditating first. Should we go, should we not go? They were scared initially. But then they said, we have nothing to worry. Krishna is on our side. So they all went in. Krishna knew what Agasura's long-term intentions were. Krishna let the other cowherd boys go in. And then Krishna was thinking, now what do? My friends are already inside. I can't let them get swallowed by Agasura. So Krishna and the demigods were all watching this encounter. When Krishna performs his pastimes, the demigods are all watching. Just like you watch soccer matches in Mauritius. What's the number one game here? Soccer. So in India, people are crazy after cricket matches. There's a cricket match, you have the whole country watching. So the demigods, they also take pleasure in watching the pastimes of the Lord. So the demigods were all watching and they saw Krishna's friends all go inside Agasura's mouth. And they knew now they'll be dead. Agasura is going to swallow them. So Krishna was meditating what to do. And Agasura, he was just waiting. What was he waiting for? When is Krishna going to enter? His real target was Krishna. Because he was angry at Krishna when Krishna had killed his brother and sister. So Agasura was waiting patiently. When is Krishna going to enter into through my throat? And then Krishna, after he saw Agasura and all go in, his friends go inside Agasura's mouth, then Krishna also entered. And when Krishna entered, Agasura was in ecstasy. But then Krishna expanded himself to the limit the Nagasura's throat got choked up and he got suffocated and he died. And then Krishna brought all the Gauhar boys, his friends, out of Agasura's body. And then great Agasura's soul merged into, came out from the top of his head, and merged into the body of the Lord. So Agasura was not an ordinary demon, isn't it? 8 miles long, capacity to open your mouth, lower lip touching the earth, upper lip touching the sky. It's not an easy, it's a very powerful demon. But this was another of the demons that Krishna killed. So these pastimes of the Lord, as we said earlier, these pastimes are relished by the devotees. And as we absorb ourselves in these pastimes, we are also able to eliminate our different anarthas by hearing about these pastimes. And we should never forget these demons are nothing but devotees appearing that role to make the Lord's pastimes more relishable. Now, what is Shukadeva Goswami saying in this verse? If even only once or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Lord into one's mind, one can attain the supreme mercy of the Lord as their Agasura. So what is being explained in this verse is that even for a moment, if you think of Krishna, your life can become successful. Even for a moment, if you utter the name of Krishna, your life can become successful. Just like Prabhupada said, the holy name is so powerful that even if somebody unconsciously utters the holy name, he stands to benefit. So similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are so relishable that by hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, you begin to perform devotional service. Even if you don't understand, that is the power of devotional service. Even if you don't understand the significance in detail, thinking of Krishna and chanting Krishna's name, consciously or unconsciously, gives you benefit. So Shukadeva Goswami says, and even if once you bring the form of the Lord into your mind, one can attain the supreme mercy of the Lord. Now, if you read the Bhagavatam and the Gita, you observe one point that there is great emphasis placed in the scriptures on the importance of meditating on the Lord, isn't it? Krishna says, Manmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskar. Think of me, think of me, think of me. In the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, what is the 6th chapter of the Gita called? Dhyana Yoga. Krishna talks about the importance of making friends with the mind. And Krishna explains, one who has controlled the mind is the best of friends. And one who can't control the mind, for him the mind is the worst of enemies. So in other words, Krishna is encouraging us to engage the mind positively. The mind needs engagement. Is that right? Positive or negative. If we engage the mind positively, then the mind is considered to be our friend. And if we engage the mind negatively, then the mind is considered to be our enemy. And what does it mean by positive engagement of the mind? Positive engagement of the mind means thinking about the Lord. When, how do you think about the Lord? Sometimes devotees say, yes, I want to think about the Lord, but how do I think about the Lord? There are various ways that we can think about the Lord. One is being proposed here, is to think about the different incarnations of the Lord. There are different incarnations of the Lord. Incarnation means avatar. I believe there was a Hollywood movie now made called Avatar. Someone told me in India, I saw them billboards. So, but avatar means there's one who are
innumerable avatars of the Lord, innumerable incarnations of the Lord. And by hearing about these pastimes of the Lord, what happens? We get purified. So Shukadeva Goswami is encouraging us to think about the Lord. And one way is to think about the pastimes of the Lord, or to think about the incarnations of the Lord. Another remedy is to think about the glories of the holy name. Now the holy name is so powerful, and you can think about the glories of the holy name. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. How the Lord is so kind, He incarnates in His holy name. Think about the glories of the holy name. And then have darshan on the form of the Lord. In this verse, the emphasis is on meditating on the form of the Lord. We have, for example, so many wonderful deities in ISKCON. Now, thanks to technology, you can have darshan of these deities situated wherever you are. A few months ago, I was in Canada, and I had to drive to go to a lecture in Calgary, and we were getting late. So the temple president said, no problem. I'll just go on the internet and see how many people there are in the temple room. And he went on the temple internet, and he saw how many people were in the temple room, and we had darshan of the deities. Then we said, okay, let's have darshan of Radha Madhav. We had darshan of Radha Madhav. Then he said, okay, let's have darshan of Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. We went to Krishna Balaram. So now, thanks to technology, sitting here in Mauritius, you can have darshan of several deities of ISKCON. You can have darshan of Radha Rasbihari deities. You can have darshan of Krishna Balaram, Radha Madhav. And by having darshan and meditating on these deities of the form of the Lord, what happens? Your heart gets purified. The heart gets purified when you think about spiritual subject matters. And what Shukadeva Goswami is really saying here is that you can get the mercy of the Lord, like Agastya got the mercy of the Lord, when you think about the Lord. If you don't think about the Lord positively, if you contemplate negative subject matters, then the same mind will be your enemy. And when the same mind, when applied, when meditates on the forms of the Lord, it becomes spiritual. So there are various ways how we can meditate on the Lord. What are some of the ways? We said one name is Nama. Then another name is Rupa. Rupa refers to, what does Rupa refer to? What? Form of the Lord. And this also brings us to another realization that the form of the Lord is not someone impersonal, but the Lord in the ultimate analysis is what? He's a person. The Lord in the ultimate analysis is a person. And to think that the Lord is impersonal is actually a very offensive mentality. So the Lord is a person. And as we said, thanks to internet and technology, you now have access to so many beautiful deities of ISKCON around the globe. And you can have darshan sitting where you are at home and meditate on His transcendental form of the Lord. How do you meditate? You meditate on these forms of the Lord by meditating on the form, the dress that the deities are wearing, the color of the garlands, etc. Then meditate on Krishna's instructions. Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Last night we were speaking about the importance of reading the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was feeling very sad when he discovered the Lord has departed from this planet. But then Arjuna Arjuna began to meditate on Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita. And when Arjuna was meditating on Krishna's instructions from Gita, he really felt Krishna's presence. He felt that Krishna was right there. And his moroseness, unhappiness, etc. totally disappeared. So the point is, as Prabhupada explains in the purport of this story, just like as Arjuna was meditating on Krishna's instructions from Gita, we should also meditate on Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita, and that is identified as positive thinking. Positive thinking means thinking with the Lord, thinking with the Lord's pastimes. Then, besides instruction, what else do you have? What else do you have? How else can you think of Krishna? Who knows? Who knows? Glory is the holy name, I already said that. Think about the Leela, the pastimes of the Lord. There are so many wonderful pastimes of the Lord. Think about the Leela of the pastimes of the Lord. So, when you think about positive engagements, then there is no room for negative engagement. Properly, to give the example, if your glass is full with water, then there's no room for adding milk into it. But if your glass is half empty, then you can add any other substance. So Shukadeva Goswami says, even once, if you bring the form of the Lord in your heart, you can get the mercy of the Lord. So you may say, oh, so once I've already done, so now I don't have to do it again. The Lord is very kind, but we have to realize that if we don't engage the mind positively, then the mind will gravitate towards where? Towards negative activities. So that's important to understand. And then he says, here, anubhuti, that is, always thinking of Krishna, and one of the things of Krishna enjoys transcendental bliss. So, here in this verse it is further explained that if you think of Krishna, you also enjoy transcendental bliss. So there are different types of blisses that you can experience. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami discusses this. Rupa Goswami discusses three different sources of happiness. Who knows what are the three? What does Rupa Goswami discuss? He discusses three different categories of happiness. Quick. He discusses happiness obtained by performing devotional service. Happiness obtained by impersonal realization. Happiness obtained by material activity. Is that correct? So Rupa Goswami explains further, material activities may give you some pleasure, but they can end at any time. Just like once Prabhupada was walking and he saw a devotee, some karmi surfing. See, when you're surfing, you hold on and you really, it's touch and go, So Prabhupada said, yes, there is another material life, but this ananda can end at any moment. You should not forget about that. So, material happiness has a beginning and an end. And further, when you engage in activities of material sense enjoyment, especially when activities are against the laws of God, you have to take on all the reaction that's going to come. Therefore, Lord Rishabhdev says in the fifth canto, Nunam pramata kurate vikarma. One who engages in activities against the laws of God is simply a fool. Then Rupa Goswami says, the happiness you can get by impersonal Brahman realization, that happiness, even if it is multiplied a trillion fold, imagine, it compares insignificantly to the happiness you can get by performing devotional service. And what's the nature of happiness you get by performing devotional service?
The more you surrender,
the more happiness you feel. And the nature of spiritual happiness is ever increasingly fresh and is ever increasing. So, Shukadeva Goswami is pointing out in this verse that those who engage in meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they experience unlimited transcendental pleasure. They experience real transcendental pleasure. And the nature of this real pleasure is that it's always increasing. So don't think, if I meditate on Krishna and his pastimes and his instructions, oh, I'll find it boring. No. You will experience real bliss. Why do we meditate on material thoughts, activities? Because we think that gives us a higher level of pleasure. But when you realize where is real pleasure coming from, then one who's intelligent will engage in those activities. So Shukadeva Goswami is encouraging us. He's encouraging us that within our heart, we should establish the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in different incarnations, who performs different pastimes, which are all superhuman, and they are all meant for our real pleasure. So when you meditate on Krishna's instructions, you'll get real pleasure. And this pleasure is always increasing. Rupa Goswami has said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that even if the happiness you can get by impersonal process is multiplied a trillion-fold, it'll be insignificant compared to the happiness you can get by the process of devotional service. Prabhupada used to explain that there's a limit to the height of waves of an ocean, but there's no limit to the height of the waves of the spiritual ocean. In other words, there's no limit to the spiritual happiness that one can derive in surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the Lord appears in different incarnations, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadi, Anantarupam. Prabhupada quotes this verse, Anantarupam, from the Brahma Samhita, explaining how the Lord manifests himself in different forms. But these forms are all predicted in the scriptures. And the Lord's forms are all completely devium or transcendental. This point should be understood. So if you meditate on the form of the Lord, then anybody who is always thinking of the Lord, he experiences shuka anubhuti. Shuka anubhuti means he experiences unending spiritual pleasure. So we should understand, by meditating on the form of the Lord, you're not going to be a loser, but you're going to be a gainer. And the power of meditation is so strong that if you're meditating on the form of the Lord, that is as good as being in the association of the Lord. And conversely, if you're meditating on something wrong, then that's also the cause of your downfall. Just like Arjimil. Arjimil was born in a Brahmin family. He went to the forest to bring flowers for puja. He didn't go to the nightclub or a cinema hall. He went to the forest to bring flowers for puja. And on the way back, he saw a prostitute with her client kissing and embracing. And he got so attached to that incident that he started meditating on that incident. And eventually, his whole spiritual life got ruined. So whatever we think about is what we generally translate into action. Therefore, the thought process from the beginning should be positive. And if the thought process is positive, then the verbal reaction will be positive and the physical reaction will be positive. And if the thought process is negative, then the same negative thoughts will follow. So Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami is telling us, by Shukha Anubhuti, anyone who is always thinking of Krishna will realize unending spiritual pleasure. And it further says, that Krishna is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities. So, the moment you associate with Krishna, you're always joyful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochatina. So one who is transcendentally situated, Krishna says, is always joyful. A devotee is joyful in any situation. Prabhupada used to give the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. At one time, the Goswamis had so much wealth that they renounced everything and went to where? Vrindavan. Where they were living like doing madhukari. Madhukari means just like a bee extracts honey from different flowers. They were just living virtually by begging. And they were totally satisfied. Why? Because they were absorbed in chanting the holy name and in hearing the glories of the Lord. So, if you have your mind controlled, you will be peaceful in any situation. And if your mind is not controlled, you can get the whole world under your command. You'll still be frustrated. Just like Narada Muni says in the Bhagavatam, a hungry man can be satisfied when you give him food to eat. A thirsty man can be satisfied when you give him water to drink. An angry man can also be satisfied when he has the opportunity to shout. But a greedy man, can he be satisfied? No, he wants more, more, more. So a devotee, a transcendentalist, he's satisfied in any condition. Why? Because he has a holy name as his virtue. If you have the holy name as your asset, if you have the shastras as your asset, then you'll be satisfied in any condition. And if we are endeavoring or hoping that a material position, recognition, fame will give me satisfaction, that is an illusion. Because activity A may satisfy you today, but tomorrow you'll be frustrated. But if your real shell is the holy name, and the holy name cannot be taken away by anything, there's only one thing that can take away the holy name from you, and that is offenses. When we commit too many apradhas, then Krishna makes you lose taste for the holy name. But if you're cautious, avoiding offenses, and taking part in the holy name, then the holy name is a greater source of pleasure. So, Shukadeva Goswami is making it very clear that one who is thinking about the Lord, he is experiencing transcendental pleasure, and this transcendental pleasure is always increasing, increasing, increasing. Prabhupada said, there's a limit to the heights of the ocean, but there's no limit to the heights of this transcendental ocean. So, as we meditate on these pastimes of the Lord, we experience more and more pleasure, and we experience real transcendental bliss. And then what happens? It's another very positive development that takes place. Antagata. That means the abhiya doshta mayaha. All the illusion is completely destroyed. So we need to destroy the illusion, anarthas. And how do you destroy the illusion? You destroy the illusion by positive cultivation of this knowledge. So to summarize the verse, we are reading about the killing of the Akasura demon. The demon Akasura has already been killed by the Lord. Akasura was a demon. But as we said, these demons are not actually demons. They are actually great devotees of the Lord who appear in this capacity to make the Lord's pastimes more relishable. And Akasura, who have displayed himself as a very cruel animal. He was ready to swallow all the children. Imagine his capacity. He could swallow all the coward boys. And his logic was, once I swallow the boys, then I'm going to swallow Krishna. And once the boys are dead, their parents will automatically die of shock. So automatically, I'll kill everyone in Vrindavan. Everyone is friendly to Krishna. Because if the sons die, the parents will not be able to live in this grief. So that was his plan. And Krishna understood his mind and eventually killed him. So Krishna's pastime is superhuman. And by hearing these superhuman pastimes of the Lord, we get purified. Not only do we get purified, we also experience unending spiritual pleasure. And this real pleasure is realized by the power of the devotional service, which begins with the process of meditating on the Lord, which begins by the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we should dedicate ourselves to meditating on Krishna's pastimes. Every day take on one different pastime and meditate on that pastime all day. Remind yourself of it all day. And the byproduct of this exercise is going to be that your anarthas will get eliminated and you'll develop a positive taste for the holy name. This is all possible. All we need to do is make the effort. Prabhupada has given us all the ammunition you need to fight Maya. Just like any country to fight a battle needs an air force, military, and navy, isn't it? So we have all the ammunition you need to fight Maya. We just have to know how to use the ammunition, and that knowledge is revealed in the Bhagavatam. And if we regularly read and hear, then you'll be well equipped to fight Maya. So please be determined to stay on this path, and that determination develops by chanting the holy name. This we'll discuss in the lecture in the evening. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah. Very nice verse. Krishna went inside his body. Agasura was in his previous life was a great saint, but he was very handsome. So once he saw a crippled sage, so he started making fun of him. Crippled man. So then he got cursed. So, but he still had the fortune of being killed by Krishna.
Was a great sage before.
Huh?
Was a great sage?
Yes. In his previous birth he was a sage. But he got cursed by another sage because he was making fun of him. Here, Agasura in his previous birth was very handsome. And there was a sage who was crippled. So he said, look at this crippled body. More questions? You meditate on? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Avatar
of the Lord. Best, of course, is to meditate on Krishna directly. And you can meditate on the Lord's capacity to appear in different incarnations. But the highest is you meditate just on Krishna. Well, after all, Krishna does say, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Isn't it? So Krishna does say, worship me, meditate on me in my personal form. Shh. Somebody control the children. Yeah? Yes. that's okay. If you meditate on Ram Leela, if you meditate how these citizens of Ayodhya were absorbed in meditating on Krishna, that's okay. But you can also meditate on Krishna Leela. Any more questions? Yes. The importance of studying the Bhagavad Gita. Temple land is right next to that tree in Jyotisar. They say approximately Krishna spoke somewhere in that area, but I don't think anybody exactly knows where exactly the chariot was located. But it was approximately in that area. I can't tell you exactly the chariot was here. That's hard to say. But it was in Jyotisa. Okay, any more questions? There aren't too many questions, he said. Yeah. When you're chanting, place your focus on hearing the chanting. And if your focus is on hearing the chanting and you're chanting, hearing, then automatically it will become easier for you to meditate on Krishna. The most important business is to be inattentive while chanting. And inattentive chanting is considered one of the offenses. Any more questions? Yes. You tend to be a little weak. Therefore, we have the following guidelines. A, have good sadhana in the morning. Chant your rounds attentively even if you're at home. Then, the byproduct of this exercise is going to be you'll be able to meditate and remember Krishna. Plus, regularly associate with devotees. Come, like this morning, I was really pleased. There were at least about 50, 60 people for Mangalarti. Come for Mangalarti, come for the class. Every Sunday now you have this program where everybody does japa together. So take advantage of this sadhu sangha. All this will equip you to control your material desires. You see, this package that we have, this package of Vaidhi Bhakti or Sadhana Bhakti, this has been prepared by Krishna himself. And Lord Chaitanya gave the same package, and Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas are giving us the same package. So this package has been tested over time and is being given by perfect personalities. So we should take this package with faith. As I said, we have fortunately all the ammunition we need to fight Maya. We just need to follow the process. We don't have to investigate or invent the wheel. The wheel is already invented. We just have to follow it. Okay, any more questions? No? So who knows? What's the key point of this verse? Thinking about Krishna. How big was Agasura's body? How wide could he open his mouth? How wide? Right from the earth to the clouds. Can you imagine? So how did Krishna kill him? Krishna entered inside and expanded himself till the demon felt suffocated. And when he died, he pulled out all the other boys. And who was Agasura in his previous birth? And what does this pastime, hearing this pastime, what anartha will it eliminate? Cruelty and cruelty and violence instigated by envy. But your devotees don't have envy in your heart now. So you don't have to listen to this. Do you have envy in the heart? Do Mauritian devotees have envy in the heart? What about cruelty and violence? So, by hearing these anarthas and by meditating on the anarthas, you can eliminate these anarthas by your hearing of Krishna killing the different demons. Okay, so are you going to make an endeavor to try to think of Krishna? Yes? How many of you are going to make that endeavor? Oh, we'll ask you the question tomorrow. How many actually did? Okay. So another thing the verse says, that if you meditate on the form of the Lord, even for a moment, you experience transcendental bliss. So the Lord does encourage us to think about the form of the Lord, and we have access to so many different forms of the Lord that we can meditate upon. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Depends on what time you want to.
Okay, and in the afternoon, and I can start giving darshan to devotees from afternoon today.
In the afternoon, what time exactly? 12:30?
4:30 onwards, we can start giving darshan.
Okay.